The book of Joel originated most probably after the year 515 BC, after the Judeans returned from their exile in Babylon. And as I said previously in sermons, the exile happened to the Judean people because they did not listen to God or His prophets. And these people broke the covenant with the Lord God. They were unfaithful to God. They made their own gods. But when you read this book, this prophecy, you get the impression that these people still had not learned their lesson. Because the prophet is urging them again to renew their commitment to serve God, to change their attitudes from inside. In those days, they gave great importance to rituals, and especially ritual mourning, for everyone to see by throwing ash on their heads and tearing their outer garments. But now the prophet is saying to them, leave that show. Leave it. You must change from your inside. It must not be a show. It must be genuine. It must be because God has spoken to you. You must honestly mean it. You must change your heart. And I said last week, the heart were actually the symbol of their whole being. They must start afresh and walk again with God. They must repent and they must say to God, we will obey you with everything we have. But this must be an urgency. This must be a matter of great importance. And they must leave whatever they are busy with. And everyone must come to the Lord God on their knees. And they must inwardly direct themselves in front of God. And they must say to God, we mean it. And then he says, it might be not too late. Because who knows? God is merciful. He's just. He's forgiving. He might forgive them again. He might give them a second or a third chance. He might help them again. But this is a matter of urgency. Everyone must know they must turn to God. They must declare a special day for the Lord. They must blow the shofar, the ram's horn, not really a trumpet, on the hill called Zion. And this hill called Zion was in Jerusalem. And that's where the temple was situated for everyone to see. And they honestly believed that God stayed there. But after the exile, they were actually surprised to learn that God is not only there, He's everywhere. The shofar played a very important role in the Old Testament history. When Israel was at the Mount Sinai, it was the strong blast of the shofar that was the signal for them to approach, to come near to God. They also used the shofar to signal the arrival of the new moon and the new year. They also used the shofar on the 50th year, which was called the year of the Jubilee. It was a vital part of their coming to God. It was a vital part to enter into the presence of God. They also used it in all their battles. They also used it to announce a new king. And in battle, it was like a bugle. It was very important for these people. When they heard this, they felt the urgent need to approach, to enter into the presence of God. And now the prophet says, blew that shofar. It's important enough. Everyone must come, regardless of age, regardless of your status, from the babes to the bride and the groom in the wedding chamber. In those days, a groom received a year's holiday from military service or any other duties to spend time with his newly wedded wives. And that was quite important. But even them must come now out of the rooms, and they must come into the presence of God. But the priests must come into the presence of God. They must intercede for the whole nation. They must stand between the nation and God. And they must show God that the people has learned their lesson. They want to obey God. They want again to serve the Lord God with everything they have. And then he says in the end, please, Lord, don't let us be ashamed. Don't let other people mock us for serving you. Be with us again, because we want to commit. Joel was really worried that a second exile would follow, and he knew that would totally destroy them. But he's hoping that God's mercy will prevail. And the best part is, when you read the next chapter, God says to these people, I've seen your hearts. I've seen you turned away. You turned again to me, and I will be with you. Amen. The text verse for the sermon is, why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Where is their God? In the old days, when God was still reverent in our society, when he was still relevant, people might have asked, where is Scotland's God? Meaning, of course, the Almighty God. Nowadays, however, his name is only used in a context of violence and aggression by most people, usually as a swear word. Some people in our society even think that there's no God at all. And it's shocking to see how people disrespect the name of God and the being of God, as if God is a comedy. And I'm shocked to say that there's even a comedy show in the Edinburgh Festival called, listen to this, Christ on a Bike, The Second Coming. And the critics call it hilarious. The best comic of the generation. Without going into much detail, I just read a summary of the comedy on their website. And one gets the impression that it's the old, old story of saying that the Bible is not true, the New Testament doesn't make sense, and Christians are idiots. It seems as if we, as the believers, as the people who try to walk with God, is facing a threat on a daily basis, that we are depicted always as idiots who have it all wrong. Why? I spent much time to answer this question, why? And I came up with a few reasons. Maybe it's because we, as the followers of God, act as if we do not know right from wrong. Maybe it's because of our own lack of moral values. Maybe it's because we do not love as God loved us. Maybe it's because we too have forgotten that God exists. Maybe we have deserted God. Maybe our houses have become our churches, and our knowledge, our trust and hope. And yes, the things we own, the things we want, our gods. But the Lord God is speaking to us all very clear this morning. We too must come to a standstill. We too must think of our relationship and our commitment to God. We must get rid of every thought, every action, every commitment that denies the existence of God or help us to forget God and who we are. And maybe the time has come for us too to blow the shofars through the villages of Scotland, to give people the opportunity again to humble themselves before God and return to Him. Maybe you and I must urge people to think again of their commitment and relationship to God. And we, like I said, must ask ourselves this morning, have we also deserted our God with our busy lives and all our commitments? And if we have, the time is now to make a U-turn to God. There is still time to show people through our witnesses of hope and love that there is a God who's full of mercy. There is still time for you and me to touch the lives of the fallen, the weary, the sick, the marginalized with our deeds of love. Deeds of love that we receive from God in Jesus Christ. There is still time to make a difference wherever we find ourselves. There is still time to tell a seeker that God has already found him or her. There is still time to offer and live the peace of God that goes beyond all human understanding. There is still time show the people in distress that God can help them. There is still time to speak to people who are lost. There's still time for you and me to pray. To pray that God will change the hearts of this nation, and that people will again turn to Him. But this can't be our outer garments. This cannot be a show. This must come from our insides. Because when we tell them the old, old story, people want to see in our actions that we mean that this old, old story is actually true. That Jesus Christ did save us from sin and hell. Christ is not a modern day human being riding on a bike. We must tell the people that He's God's only Son, our Redeemer and Savior. God does not need our bikes to ride on or our money. God wants you and me, our whole beings. He wants our commitment. He wants us to serve and obey and trust Him with everything we have. Yes, you and I must come into the presence of God and admit that we are nothing. We have nothing. We only depend on God's mercy and His grace. So let us use the 10th of the 10th, 2010, to show the world that we are willing to give everything to God, what already belongs to Him, our time, our commitment of service, and most important, let us show God and everyone around us our changed hearts, how God's Holy Spirit has turned you and me around to look to God face to face while saying, we are nothing without the help of God. Let us all blow the shofar that day and celebrate our relationship with God. Let us show this village, the village in Skalder and Kirknewton, that we serve a God, not on a bicycle, a God who showed us His mercy, His love and grace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our offerings are given for the ministry and mission of the church while we sing Mission Praise 25, All to Jesus I Surrender. Let us dedicate our lives to God. Let us pray. May we open our hearts to recognize you. May we open our souls to welcome you. May we open our minds to listen to you. O God of life, the time is right. May we open our hands to receive you. May we open our mouths to praise you. May we open ourselves that we may be honest with you, O God of love, for the time is here. May we open our community to be blessed by you. May we open our lives to be changed by you. May we open our faith that we may be challenged by you. O God of grace, the time is now. Amen.